On this week's show, it's a Mortal Kombat takeover. That's right. We are kicking off our month-long celebration of all things Mortal Kombat, and who better to break the ice than Sub-Zero himself? Model Tony Chung is here, ladies and gentlemen. Golf clap, golf clap. Nintendo completely jumps on the VR bandwagon because, well, why not? Best Buy does a better Nintendo Direct than Nintendo, apparently. And finally, the Hype Zone sends a chilling message to gamers around the world. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 93. Everybody, welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 93 for the week of April 8th, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime, my co-everything that is Dual Screens, the other half of the Dual Screens. He is my best friend. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing really good. I actually had a bunch of ice puns prepared for this episode.
I believe it.
But then I just rewatched Batman and Robin. And that's and that's where I got them from.
There's a freeze coming.
So easy for me.
This is going to be something. And with us, as I had just previously mentioned, Tony Chung. How are you, Tony?
How's it going, guys?
Oh, it's so good to have you here. It's so good.
It's so nice to meet you, Tony. It's so nice to meet you.
Oh God!
Here we go. I love this. Nice to meet you guys as well.
Yes, indeed. For those of you,
no, but seriously, it's an honor to be here, though.
Yeah. Oh, an honor! Look at that, Andy.
Wow, that's our first honor. An honor to be here.
I think others have made that mistake as well. For those of you that are new to Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, just like Tony is, this is a show where Andy and I go over the Nintendo news, and a guest go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about, and we have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Alex Gonzalez and Gavin McCrin. Gentlemen, without your help, we cannot succeed. Thank you so, so very much. And remember, for as little as $1, you could support this show and this company. And what does that $1 get you? What does that $1 get you, Andy? Let me ask you. Do you know what that $1 gets these wonderful people?
Yeah, it gets you super secret Discord access, where we chat up all of our previous guests and indie devs and the like.
Indeed.
Plus our awesome super fans are in the chat as well.
Indeed.
And a bonus show.
That's right. You get access to the Super NDS Bros Super Show, which posts each and every month, which we are a month behind because PAX kicked our ass. But we will be recording that at some point in the very, very near future. There are all sorts of tiers for you to choose from, so please head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast. You could also be a part of the show by emailing us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com. Now, before we get into this week's lead story and the Nintendo news report, Andy, I have a very important question. What should we be playing?
I'm not ready for this. I'm just going to say Speed Brawl.
Yeah.
And defer to our last Twitch stream.
Yes.
As the reason why we should be playing it. It's a great game.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, fun fact about Speed Brawl before I move on from that. We got some codes from the developer. So maybe we'll get some fans in the stream and we'll kick that first boss's ass.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. So on the Tuesday, TWO.
Yes, Tuesdays with Andy stream. And Steve. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Speedball.
We'll give some codes away. Yeah, Speedball.
All right. Yeah, cool. Why don't you describe what Speedball is Speed Brawl is?
It's a side-scrolling brawler game where the faster you move, the more powerful your attacks are.
Right. So it's kind of like...
It controls a bit like... There's some Smash elements in there, too, with your directional attacks. Your up Bs and what have you.
Bs and whatnot. Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's Sonic meets Streets of Rage. You have to clear the part of the level as fast as possible. It's all about time challenges. And the quicker you do the level, the more points you get, the more you can, you know, purchase in the store, yada, yada, yada. It's got RPG elements to it where you can unlock skill trees and equip items and whatnot. It's a lot of fun. Before we kick it over to Tony, I will tell you that I have been playing a game called The World Next Door.
Ooh, you mentioned this several times.
I did. Yeah. I took a wild stab in the dark on this one. I was like, you know what? That looks pretty cool. Reached out to the developers. They supplied us with a review code, which I am going to work on. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a short game, so it's might take me a little while. But it's a really interesting game. At first glance, it looks a little bit like one of those 2012, 2014 mobile games, like that big head art style where they kind of look like their limbs are being pinned together by like attack or whatever. But it's actually way deeper than any type of mobile game. So you play, essentially the story is that there are two parallel worlds, one where the humans live, it's Earth, and then there's another one, which I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name, but it's full of essentially like wizards, as it were, or magic users, for example. So once every so many years, the portal opens and they choose a handful of humans from Earth to go into the other realm and vice versa. And you play this girl who was able to go visit the other world, and all sorts of funky stuff happens while you're there. But what's interesting about it is the combat in it is, so it's isometric, so that you see the floor, and the floor gets all these glyphs on it. And it's a match three situation where you're moving your character around, and where you're standing, as long as you're standing on three of a kind, you can cast that spell against the enemy. Now, the enemy is also shooting at you, so you have to dodge and weave through their attacks. And then you could also pick up glyphs and move them to try and make more powerful spells by chaining together 4, 5, 6, 7 different glyphs of the same magic type. So it's a lot of fun. It's really cool. So check it out. The World Next Door. Now, Tony, what should we be playing, my friend?
Well, I should preface by saying that I'm pretty boring when it comes, like, I'm one of those guys where if I find like a restaurant that I really like, I will continuously go back to that restaurant, and I might even order the same thing I go. So similarly with games, I've been playing like the same games for like the last probably 8 to 10 years, if not more. And so I'm super lame when it, you know, and that kind of thing. But I mean, one of my staples is StarCraft. So,
ooh, okay.
Yeah, I play StarCraft way too much. Like, we just moved to this new apartment like a few days ago, and I'm getting a little sad here. Because I haven't been able to set up my computer yet, my desktop computer, to be able to play StarCraft. But I play that game way too much. But I will say this: recently, I've been playing, and I wonder, Andy, if this is a similar, if there's any sort of relevance to Speed Brawl. Is that the name of the game?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I've been, a few of my close friends introduced me to this iPhone game called Brawl Stars.
Ah, yes, Brawl Stars is really cool. Yeah. Really, really cool game.
Yeah. So I've been playing that a lot with them, and that's pretty addicting. I didn't think I'd find it to be that fun, but it actually is quite fun. So I've been playing that, StarCraft, and yeah, those are kind of my go-tos right now.
Awesome. Yeah, StarCraft is... I got into it, I own it, but man, that game, that takes a very special dedication to get very good
at. It sure does.
That's so cliche of you, Tony, to play StarCraft.
I know.
It's like,
man.
How very Asian of you to be playing StarCraft.
Oh man, dude, I'm not even that good is the thing. I've been playing so many years, and I always play like 3v3 with like, you know, randos and like, and you know, the thing about StarCraft is it gets me so, there's always a reason to continue playing. Like if I place a game and like win easily, I'm like, dude, that's too easy. I got to play another one, you know? But if it's like, I get my ass kicked, then it's like, dude, I got to like, I'm like super pissed. I need to get revenge. And like, so there's, it's bad, man. It's really bad. I've been trying to like sort of rid myself of this game, but it's really difficult. It's just too good. I mean, Blizzard is just such an amazing company, I think.
Heard that. All right, so that's what we think you should be playing, but that may all change this week, Andy, because there are quite a few games coming out this week.
Quite a few games. Quite Freeze Louise, Steven. We got so many games coming out this week. Let's see. We got the Demon Crystal on the 11th for $9.99. We got Vaporum, which we reviewed on our website, dualscreens.com, for PS4. Come to Switch on the 11th as well. We got Way of the Passive Fist, trying to outpun me, game title. Not going to have it.
It's a good game.
We got Rolling Sky. We got Street Basketball, which for $6 looks like hot trash. All right.
So Way of the Passive Fist, have you heard of it? Have you heard of that game? It's a really good game. You don't attack at all. You stand there, and as the enemies come towards you, you are parrying and deflecting, and it's like combo based, so you have to like continuously deflect and combo guys away. Really, really cool game. You also skipped over a couple other games here.
Well, I was going to say there's some highlights I want to go through because there's a lot of stuff coming out next week.
There is stuff.
So I want to say the good ones, the ones you really want to look out for. Phoenix Wright, the Ace Attorney trilogy comes out.
Yep.
There's Hellblade on the 11th, which we snuck a peek at that at PAX East on the Switch. Looked okay.
Yeah.
Looked like a decent port of the game. We got Shadowgate, which is a NES game remake.
Woohoo!
Which is it's a distant past Kickstarter campaign. Now it's on all the systems. We got a game that's on this week's news report, and that's Reigns Game of Thrones, which from what I gather is it's Tinder with Game of Thrones characters.
Perfect. Perfect. $3.99. I'm in. Whatever you can do to piggyback off of the fact that Game of Thrones is coming back this Sunday.
Right, exactly.
And I think same night as WrestleMania. Who thought of that?
Whew. I don't know.
Those jerks.
Those HBO execs. And that's really it for like major releases. And we got Cook Serve Delicious 2 coming out on the 10th. Which sounds like a mistranslation if you ask me.
Oh boy. And everybody freeze. Everybody freeze. Oh. It's time to get into the lead story. Get it? Freeze. Get it?
Oh, no. you did it. Get the secret in there. Listen, I was doing the releases. You gave me the cold shoulder. What are you doing to me?
Killing it. Nice job.
All right.
This is going to be horrifying.
Jeez, Louise. All right. We are here. It is time to get into the lead story. Tony, you...
Yes, sir.
...are... Your face is Sub-Zero, which that side-by-side image that Andy tweeted earlier today, I was like, oh shit, it really is like him. That's incredible. So before we get into Sub-Zero and this whole process for you, tell us about your career. Like, how did you get started? Obviously, you're a model, but how did they get started into like video games in a sense? Like, how'd that happen?
Yeah, totally. You're talking about specifically the Sub-Zero gig or just like how just
in general, we'll start there.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, well, first of all, I grew up playing video games like most of my life. I started off playing like have you guys heard of the Super Famicom?
Oh, yeah. Oh come
yes,
on.
Yes, we have.
You know, this is a Nintendo podcast,
it's a
right?
Nintendo show. What is that? Like a Game Gear?
Yeah. You know, I grew up thinking that the Super Famicom was like a bootleg version of like Nintendo. I didn't know that it was actually
a Chinese knockoff. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, seriously, I did, because my parents growing up, they were always so like for lack of a better word, cheap. Like growing up, like they would not buy us like toys or, you know, video games or whatever, and you know, we'd have to save up like the allowance we didn't get, and basically like once every, I don't know, once in a blue moon we'd go to like Target and we'd get like, you know, some budget and get like one figurine or something. So what happened was like when my dad would go on these overseas trips to like Japan and to like Taiwan and Korea and stuff, like he would always come back with like a gift or two. And one time he came back with this big box, this Famicom, and like, you know, he took it out and I just assumed it was like a knockoff version of Nintendo because, you know, it looked similar, and like, and this whole like, you know, his cartridges was with like 100 games in one. Like that was such an interesting thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you had like at the time, you know, like whatever, Duck Hunt, Super Mario, all this kind of stuff. But like to have like 50 something games, it just seems like a very sort of like a smart approach. And it was such a, you know, bang for the buck in terms of what you're getting. So I grew up playing that, and then sort of like went from there to like, you know, playing games like Street Fighter and, you know, obviously Mortal Kombat and Final Fight, you know, these types of games. I mean, playing games, but yeah, I started playing, you know, playing these games and got really addicted to them growing up. And then I think after like Mortal Kombat 3, I think I basically sort of, for whatever reason, kind of like didn't play Mortal Kombat that much anymore. So, you know, so coming around to like Mortal Kombat 11, I had no idea that, frankly, that Mortal Kombat still existed. I thought that it had fell off the face of the earth. Well, I'm just being totally like frank, but I might be offending many people out there, but that's just,
I mean, listen, 11 games. What is it? Fucking Land Before Time.
Listen,
yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah. Mortal Kombat 4-8 really didn't, they might as well have not existed. Just put it that way.
Right.
And especially,
I'll tell you what, I downloaded, downloaded Mortal Kombat. Oh, I think it's called XL, and X is like a similar one or something. But anyway, I downloaded PS4 after I got this gig, and like I played it. And I'll tell you what, it is like awesome. Like, I think it's great. I mean, I'm right back to this, like, throwing my controller, getting pissed off, like, you know, getting beat and being super enthralled, like, beating my close friends and stuff. So, I get it. I totally get why there's still such a big community around this, you know, that are, you know, people who are super passionate about the game. I totally get it. I mean, ever since I bought that game, I still play with my friends every now and then. And, you know, obviously I'm looking forward to the new one coming out this month. But, yeah, so in terms of modeling, though, it was around, 2011. I was in New York. Before that, I was actually, like, I was a recording artist, touring musician in like Asia, and like my whole thing was going out of high school and college and stuff was that I wanted to do music, you know, for life, to make that a career and make money from it. And that sort of opportunity came in terms of going to Asia and releasing albums there, and then I eventually had a band and we toured around Asia and stuff. So coming to New York was just like a quick 2-week trip at the time. But when I came here, one of my band members happened to run into some visa issue where if we go back, he would have to actually join the military for a year and then some. And it was like, oh man, like, you know, maybe this is a sign that we should, you know, take a hiatus from this. And right, literally the next day after I heard this news, some dude stopped me in a cafe in the East Village and like basically told me I should consider modeling. And, you know, I thought it was just, I didn't think much of it, but when I went back and I Googled, I was like, oh man, this is one of the top agencies in New York. Long story short, I ended up, you know, he booked me a gig and I went, you know, to the photo shoot and kind of realized that this is a pretty lucrative career. Especially as like an Asian American male, it's sort of like, you know, you're in a very niche category. And so, yeah, I've been doing it ever since 2011, and it's sort of scaled up. Now I have, you know, multiple agencies around the world representing me. I'm flying around, you know, at any given time to shoot for some client in some city in the world. So it's going quite well, and I feel really blessed for that. And, you know, it was I guess it was about a year to 2 years ago, I got this phone call from my Chicago agency. Shout out to Ford Chicago. And like, basically my agent, Demi, she called me. She's like, hey, listen, like, there's this company and they have you, you know, face scan you for a character for a video game. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't hear, you know, I don't think I've ever gotten a gig like that, but yeah, you know, they're not disclosing what game it is, but I'm telling you, if you go on their website, the company is NetherRealm. If you go on their website, I think you're going to figure it out, Tony. And I was like, all right, so
they might be a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. So I got off the phone and then I typed it into Google, and sure enough, I saw Mortal Kombat. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. Like, immediately I had these flashbacks of playing the game growing up, and you know, I was definitely like a huge, you know, I was really big on it growing up. So, you know, I called her back and I said, like, yeah, and you know, they also couldn't disclose like what character I'd be playing. And by that point, with Mortal Kombat 10, there were so many new characters and stuff, I had no idea. So I'm receptive to the idea, and a lot of times with modeling, it's like a client expresses interest, but that doesn't mean you're booked. Like, there might be a few people up, you know, for the same role. So, you know, she got to talking with a company, and then I had casually mentioned to a friend that like this may happen, and he started like nerding out and Googling and trying to figure out which character I'm going to be, and yeah, it was just so funny. So anyway, I ended up, you know, things went to Chicago, and by the way, am I going too far with the story?
No, not at all.
No, this is all great stuff.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. So I flew into Chicago. I flew to I went to NetherRealm, and I walked in, and like during that time, I was pretty certain of which character I'd be playing, because they told me that the character wears a mask that covers like half of his face, and that but for this version of the game, there'll actually be like a maskless version as well, so you'll be like recognizable. So I started looking at the characters, and I thought it would be this Japanese character, and yeah, I show up, and basically the guy, he's like, hey, by the way, they told you what character you're gonna be, right? And I was like, oh no, I don't. He's like, oh, you're gonna be Sub-Zero. And I was like, crap, Sub-Zero. I mean, that's like big time, like.
That's
like with Mortal Kombat ever since the very beginning. Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to say?
Sorry. No, we lost you for a second. But yeah, it's Sub-Zero's like S tier, S rank, God tier in the Dude. Mortal Kombat fandom. But I want to go back just a little bit in your story. Mm-hmm. So I want you to know, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, your story of walking into a cafe, getting handed a card saying you should model, and then following up and actually doing it for a living, that right there is what every single performer in this city dreams of happening to them. Like, and you don't hear it happening. Like, nobody ever says, oh yeah, I was just, you know, sitting around and somebody was like, hey, you should do this. And then all of a sudden you're, you know, doing it.
It sounds like a pickup line to me.
That's yeah. Stuff of movies. Like, that's something that like happens to like, you know, the tramp in the street. Like, that doesn't happen in real life. So I want to say kudos to you actually living the cliche dream right there of being approached in the street to be a model.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, totally. I think that part of the lesson I've learned also is just like, I mean, first of all, you know, timing and luck and all that is just something you can't control, but to actually like be receptive to, you know, new opportunities that may scare you or may make you anxious. Like, for example, even this scanning thing, there are a few reasons I could have, you know, declined the offer, or also, you know, this modeling thing. So I think that the takeaway is just like, not necessarily saying yes to everything, but at least being receptive and doing your research to see like, you know, is this like, this might be an interesting sort of door to open that may lead to a lot of interesting opportunities. So yeah, I, you know, that kind of thing does happen. You know, I know several people in the industry through the years who had a similar experience, but there are also people, like you said, who would like to maybe be in the entertainment world and it doesn't come in the form of like, you know, a chance, like chance
encounter. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
very, very cool. Now, Andy, before I kick it over to you, I think, and I'm sure, Tony, I'm sure you know this, but Andy is like the Mortal Kombat guy. Like, we did a whole bonus episode once where Andy went over the storyline of all of the Mortal Kombat games and
oh my god, try to go back and listen to this.
Try to explain to me exactly what's going on and where we're going to start in the story. So I just want you to know the pedigree that is about to question you. Okay.
All right. I can't guarantee anything, but bring it.
Listen, we're not going to get into lore.
No.
at this moment, maybe later on, but for now, we're going to keep it casual. All
right.
Anything
you say canon will be used against you in a court of Mortal Kombat.
All right. So just chill out. Chill.
Chill. Oh,
chill out.
Nice.
So, Tony, I was wondering. So, again, it was all about getting your face for the character in the game. But do they share like any of the story details or any other elements like of what the game is about, or just like, hey, go in this room, strip, and we'll scan you, and then go home? What is that process like on that end?
That's a good question. Not too much. There wasn't too like def after doing the face scanning. You know, they brought me into a room where, you know, the engineers were actually working on the game, and I got to see, like, you know, Scorpion and a few other characters, like, you know, sort of, you know, work in progress, sort of moving around and stuff and seeing, you know, how they look. So that was cool. But there was not too much sort of like, they didn't go too much into, you know, the backstory of Sub-Zero. Of course, like, while I was doing all the expressions and stuff, you know, they would explain to me, okay, so when you expression, I'm trying to capture, you know, the details of maybe like, you know, to the left and right of your eyes, because there might be some move where you'll get gut punched and I need to get those wrinkles right. So so things like that they would explain to me, but nothing too much in terms of like, you know, the backstory of like Sub-Zero.
Okay,
so you did not leak the roster then. Is when my next question is.
What's that? I'm sorry.
You did not leak the roster of the game.
That wasn't you.
No.
So okay, Tony, on this next shot, we need you to give us a facial expression that is your spine being removed and action. Like, how do you Mortal Kombat? Like, it's horribly violent. How do you portray like some of these nasty things, like breaking a rib or getting your face sliced off? Like, how much of that did they tell you? Were they like, oh, you know, now you're getting punched in the stomach? Or was it like, did they get into detail like, oh, now you're on fire? Like,
yeah, no, it's a great question. No, they didn't go too much into detail like that. I think what happened was like the guy who was sort of the lead on this part of the project, he was excellent, and he sort of I think he already knew exactly how he's going to use each of these expressions, but he didn't explain it to me in that way. It was just more like, okay, so for this expression I need you to do this sort of a face, and I forget, but I think he may have had some reference photos to show me sort of like, you know, what sort of an expression he's looking for, and we some of the expressions times because, you know, they weren't right the first time or second time, but no, it definitely was not like super descriptive, like you're gonna be on fire and you're gonna get your arm chopped off and your eyes are gonna pop out, so I need you to do this. No, it wasn't. But I'll tell you this, after I saw like the initial trailer and some of these finishing moves, like Jesus Christ, like I Mortal Kombat 10, you know, some of those finishing moves were already like, you know, already no, they could take this to like another level, but
don't you mean Freezes Christ?
Oh shit.
Yeah,
there you go, yes.
So
Jesus Christ.
Wait, I wanna touch on that, because have you seen, so two part question, have you seen a lot of these games' fatalities, and what's it like seeing yourself being killed over and over and over again?
It's hilarious because like I didn't know that they had like it's so funny because now on like Instagram, like there was some Reddit thread that a friend of a friend showed me, and like apparently someone had like posted, I think, the original post that I had posted, and the people were like just, you know, going nuts in the comments talking about, you know, oh, this guy doesn't fit that, or like, oh, I love this, whatever, all these, all sorts of comments. And like, it's funny now because, you know, if I post like any sort of modeling related or non Mortal Kombat or gaming related photo, like people in the comments are like, oh, Sub-Zero, you look great. You know, it's hilarious. And it's really funny to me. And I appreciate the support, but it's just quite funny to me. But like someone commented and was like, hey, how do you feel getting your, how do you feel getting your ass kicked by a noob Cybot? And I was like, and then I responded and then he's like, yeah. And then I Googled, I was like, oh, okay, I guess they like came out with a video of like the like this insane finishing move on Sub-Zero by Noob Cybot. And I totally forgot what your question was. I apologize.
I mean, you essentially answered it. It was,
yeah, it's all there.
What was it like seeing yourself just getting annihilated in so many different ways?
And the answer
is awesome,
loved it.
Man. I think it's awesome. I know my friends are going to be like, you know, destroying me, probably like putting Sub-Zero as like a computer and that just stands there and like destroying me and doing finishing moves on me and just enjoying the whole thing. And you know what? I say, you know, I'm all for it. It's hilarious. It's awesome. And it's so cool.
What does your family think of it?
They think it's super cool. I mean, like my parents were like, man, that's, I'm pretty sure they have no idea what Mortal Kombat is, but like, they're like, oh, it's like, you know, really awesome, blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, super supportive.
Cool. Andreas, I'm sure you have more wonderful.
Well, I do have more. We have some listener questions and some Reddit questions.
Oh, we have some stone cold questions from our.
Oh boy!
God.
Yes.
All right. So, Chrissy2710 on Reddit asks. She has two questions. The first one is, what was your first Mortal Kombat game?
In terms of like iteration.
I guess like
the first game you ever played.
Like which character I used or
no, just which game you played.
Oh, definitely the first one.
There you go.
Yeah,
there it is.
The first one was great.
Now let me ask you this. You said you had the Super Famicom, so did you play the inferior Super Nintendo version with the sweat, or did you play the arcade and Genesis version with all the blood?
You know, I'm pretty sure I definitely played it in the arcade, that's for sure. I don't think I seem to remember that like all the sort of top games like never showed up on, quote me on this, but I feel like the games that we played on Famicom were more sort of like simple graphics and nothing like Mortal Kombat like level. So I feel like when I did play Mortal Kombat, it was always like at a friend's place who he would have like the actual console and we would like, you know, we play that way.
Fair. That's fair.
All right. And the second question is, I would assume, other than Sub-Zero, obviously, which other character are you most excited to play as in MK11?
Oh, man, I can answer this question. I'll tell you. So I was obsessed with Mortal Kombat 3, and I even bought – I got my parents to – and this is a big deal. I got my parents to buy me this this black book, and I think it was the Mortal Kombat like collection with a K, and it was – basically all the combos and finishing moves for all the characters in the game. And
I had this book.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
I love that book. It's like square, right? Like
yes,
the shape.
Yes.
Yes. And that was such an amazing book. And I brought that with me everywhere. We went out to eat.
It was the Bible for MP3.
Yes,
exactly.
It absolutely was. It totally was. And I loved Mortal Kombat 3. And my go-to character was Cabal. I loved Cabal.
Yeah, I like Cabal.
He had these like long combos, like, 10, I don't know how many number, but it was just so fun and spinning your opponent and like, you know, anyway, so I was a big Cabal fan and I look forward to playing. I saw like some video recently where he doesn't have his mask on and that was pretty interesting for me.
Yeah, he
to
looks
see.
Great in this new
yeah.
game.
Yeah. Yeah. I only know him as, you know, the mask guy, but,
as a Burke victim.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I am looking forward to using Cabal, and the other two, I don't know if they're going to be in the game, and I'm not even sure if they've if they've announced this, but Cyrax and Sektor.
Yeah, no cyborgs in this one.
Oh, man, that bites. I really love both of them. I love the heat-seeking missiles and the web. Like, I love both of those. But I will say this, in Mortal Kombat 10, there was a, oh God, is it Melina? No, it's not Melina. There was a character that she has like wasps that she throws at you.
Is it the bug lady?
Yeah.
Devorah.
Yes. I don't know. Do you know if she's going to be in the game?
She is.
God, I think
they've shown
awesome.
A single render of her.
Oh man.
And that's it.
Oh man, I'm looking forward to using her. I like being cheap with Raiden as well, so that'll be fun. Oh, and yes. Johnny Cage, you know, doing the flying kick. I mean, no, is that Johnny? No, Liu Kang.
Oh, Liu Kang, you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, Liu Kang. Yeah, I'm looking forward to using several characters, but the top of that list has to be Sub-Zero, obviously.
Sub-Zero. Yeah. So we have. Did we have any questions? I don't know if we did. Oh yeah, we have another one more. Yeah, we got another question from Nintendo Dual Screen Superfan. Superfan Zach.
He asks, how does it feel to be selected as the fan favorite character of the entire franchise? Which is false, it's Scorpion. But you can answer the question, Tony. Being a
jerk. man, I think it's why do you think Scorpion is the fan favorite? He's
Ed Boon's golden boy.
Yeah,
he just loves him. Like it's his baby.
You're right. I wonder if it's like the iconic like get over here, you know, like that made Scorpion sort of stand out, because I feel like, I mean, think about like Street Fighter, right? Like Ryu and Ken. Who would you say is like the sort of the more standout character?
Ooh,
or like the
yeah, that's a good question.
Like I wonder why Scorpion is. I mean, of course the you know. The Ed Boon element, but also just like Sub-Zero, I feel like he never really had like, you know, some iconic saying like get over here, you know, like, and I wonder if that sort of like pushed him over as like
chill out.
One. yeah, there you go.
He's more known for the rivalry between him and Scorpion, like their little, you know, squabble.
Yeah, is what makes them their
famous,
feud.
But Scorpion is a little bit higher on the fan favorite rank. But you know, I've always loved Sub-Zero more than Scorpion.
Scorpion has
I like freezing shit, like magical, mystical powers.
Sure.
Would you say Sub-Zero is the underdog?
No, he does get the cold shoulder often from the.
Oh snap! That's awesome. God, that was well.
He's the best in snow.
Oh God! You are on fire. No, you're not on fire.
Rusty.
Oh man,
Scorpion! I think gets a lot more
he gets more love,
kudos sure. because of the cool factor, and that's not obviously a pun. But he's edgy. He's got the skull situation. He's got the fire breathing thing. He's got the harpoon, and I don't know. He's just got that edginess to him.
Let's put it this way: when Scorpion was missing from the initial MK3 roster, fans almost like revolted against Midway Games. Like, where the hell is Scorpion? I think if it was reversed and they had left out Sub-Zero, it wouldn't have been as bad.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just wondering why, you know? But those reasons do make sense. He is edgier. He is cooler. He's got that sort of flame sort of thing going with the skulls and harpoon.
They also kind of ruined Sub-Zero a little bit when they like gave him that other character. I don't know. What was it? The brother character? I don't even know. The when he was maskless,
I think that gave him a lot more depth.
Yeah,
I liked
but
his little backstory.
Yeah,
first but Sub-Zero died, and his brother kind of took his place in part two.
Yeah, but that was stupid.
You're stupid.
Because then all of a sudden he doesn't look like Sub-Zero. Like he's not Sub-Zero anymore at that point. Now he's
what
just
do you mean he's still Sub-Zero.
No, he's not. Because Sub-Zero is Sub-Zero and Scorpion and Smoke and Reptile and Noob. And all of those guys, they all look like those cool ninjas, and then they made Sub-Zero not cool anymore by making him just he looked like movie Raiden. Like he's just
wait, in part three with his little when he was fully unmasked.
Yeah, when he had like those stupid
he had those weird ass like just like that,
shoulder pads or whatever
that,
or the vest.
That like onesie going on.
Yeah, like, yeah. like they made him look
like
dorky.
All exposed.
Yeah. I mean he was still a good character, but he was he just looked dorky. He looked like Johnny Cage in blue. Like I don't know. It was a strange design choice for Sub-Zero.
Quick insert here. You mentioned the movie. I just want to say I encourage you guys, and I'm we've all seen the movie, but I'm just saying that like go on YouTube and like Google, like search like worst movie scenes ever, Mortal Kombat. Some guy made this like this anthology of clips from Mortal Kombat, and it is hilarious how bad it is.
Yep.
It is so
bad. It's all from Annihilation.
It's all from the second one, essentially, yeah. Shao Kahn.
Wow, who greenlit this? This is so bad.
Yeah, but it's so bad. It's good, though, Tony. That's the best part of it.
I agree.
It's the guiltiest of all pleasures.
I know what I'm doing after this podcast.
The fight choreography in the first movie was actually really good. Like,
because they tried.
It was like a martial arts movie. Yeah, it was really cool. And then they were like, okay, let's make CG.
Let's cut the budget in half and hire the original writer and director.
And let's make sure we hire at least one American Gladiator to play one of these characters. And boy, was that a decision.
And let's go to $1 for all the costumes.
Yeah. Anybody got an extra green screen? We need a few green, like Raiden like disappears and pops out of nowhere. Like he just like disintegrates in the air. Like, because they just didn't have the budget to make an actual effect of him. Like, I don't know. It's just so bad. It's so bad.
It's my animality.
Oh, gosh.
Finish. Whew.
This has just been a hoot and a holler. I do have one last question for you, Tony.
One last question.
Before we move on into the Nintendo News Report. How can someone so hot be so cold?
Oh,
snap.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Oh, snap. I'm assuming that's rhetorical.
It is.
It is rhetorical.
But you are free to answer if you'd like.
How do you answer a rhetorical question, Andy?
Well, that's what Tony's here for.
You just ask if it's a rhetorical question. That's how you answer it. All right. So let's move on to the Nintendo News Report. We have a few things. Now, keep in mind, folks, when we released last week's episode, it was released on April Fool's Day, but it was no fool. It was jam-packed with 3 days of interviews from PAX East. And now
it was no joke, guys.
It was no joke. Oh. Yeah, it's no joke.
So good.
Fuck. All right. Well, anyway, so we're back to our regular scheduled programming. Now, a lot of shit happened that week because it was April Fool's Day. And so there was a lot of silly shit going on. But then we actually got real news. So we are trying to tell you about the good stuff. So Andy, take it away. Let's get into the Nintendo News Report.
So this first bit of news, I think we all saw coming, is that Nintendo's little VR gambit is being pushed past Labo into Mario Odyssey and now Breath of the Wild.
Uh-huh.
So we get on that VR bandwagon right quick. And you know what? It doesn't look bad. I'm kind of shocked that this is what essentially is a Google Cardboard for the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
Looks of this quality. Now, the Odyssey update with the VR comes with 3 new mini missions where you collect musical notes and coins. So much fun. And for Breath of the Wild, there's a new option in the menu to activate the Toy-Con VR goggles.
Ah, yes. So you could do nothing in stunning VR.
Right. You can enjoy Link's Adventure like never seen before. I mean, I get it, what they're doing. It's,
no, that's a
VR
great idea.
VR is the new hot shit. I mean, Sony's crushing on VR, so is the Vive and the Oculus. So it's a nice, it's a good way to push Labo.
Oh my god, I just got an idea.
For a gamer like us, who would use it for the proper big boy AAA titles.
I just got a brilliant idea, Andy.
Oh god, is it the Labo litter box?
No, Mortal Kombat 11 VR, where you have the headset off to the side, right? And then when you do a finish him, you go, do you want to see it in VR? And you're like, oh, yes. And then you put it in the headset, put it up against your face, and you get, you're in first person mode of the person doing the fight, the fatality. How
I could count
cool would that be?
I hope someone from NetherRealm is listening to this.
There's almost no chance that that's happening, Tony. our goal, we want to get Ed Boon on this bad boy. We want to have it happen.
It's a good goal.
We will pitch that idea.
Yes.
It's the
32 degrees of separation will be
We'll get there.
Yeah.
It's going to be more like 2 degrees with our next guest, but we'll announce that later.
Indeed.
Mm.
This is all just to get his attention, by the way, Tony.
We're using you, Tony. We're using you like the cheap model you are.
I'm all for it. I love it. I love it.
Don't forget, Tony's local, so he could show up here in Kung Fu our asses at any moment. Grass. He could do mm-hmm. it. He's got the training.
He really does.
Wario64 had a mental meltdown over these last few leaks coming.
Yeah, this was kind of nuts because it was too close to April Fool's Day for me.
Yeah, a little too close. But Best Buy did the thing. So,
Best Buy? Is that a former sponsor of NES Podcast?
No. This was on an employee terminal at Best Buy. So this is something that only the employees see on their end. But there were listings for Persona 5, the Metroid Prime Trilogy, and the strangest one of all, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, were all listed for the Nintendo Switch. Now, these being listed in a Best Buy terminal indicates that these are physical releases. A Super Nintendo game getting a physical release on the Nintendo Switch? A what?
Yeah, that sounds very fake to me.
Very weird, but it's there. This is an actual thing. The listings are there. The model numbers are all made up, but the SKUs are different. It's just interesting.
Well, to add to that, Atlas was approached about this rumor with Persona 5 in particular. And they said, of course, the usual PR spiel, we have no comment, but that the Switch is a quote-unquote charming console.
Oh, it's charming, isn't it?
It's charming. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But yeah, we're already getting Joker for Smash.
Charming.
There's that. We got Persona Q2 for 3DS. I don't know. It feels like it might be true. I would love for Metroid Prime to be a thing, trilogy. I would love that. The Zelda thing, I don't know what that's about. That seems very strange to me as an individual SKU. What would they charge? $20?
I don't know. It depends, I guess, right? I don't know. I really honestly, that one just is completely, it baffles me completely. I am looking forward to the Metroid Prime trilogy, though. That'd be a nice way to get back into that series. Okay, let's move along here. This has to be an April Fool's, right?
That's what I thought, too. This is that Tinder-like game, that Game of Thrones thing launching next week for the Switch.
Now, why this is news? It's really only news because Game of Thrones is debuting its final season this Sunday. So it's important to note that this thing is coming out on the Switch. It is out this week. And who the hell knows why this was a thing that was made? Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
And also a little fun fact that the Switch version is a little bit cheaper than the mobile version. For some reason.
Gotta get it in the hands. Gotta get it in people's hands.
Right, but cheaper on Switch, that never happens.
And now news that we saw coming, but also are pretty sad about, that it's a possibility. Take it away.
I wouldn't say sad.
It's sad. It's never a good feeling when your go-to console loses an exclusive, or potentially could lose an exclusive.
It's true.
Just ask any Microsoft fan.
All their games.
They haven't had an exclusive title in 32 years. Tony, we like to poke fun at Xbox on this show.
I love it.
Mostly because Nintendo dual screen superfan Zach is just a glutton for punishment.
It's the staunchest of Microsoft supporters.
Oh, this just in.
Oh.
This is breaking. Maltese is typing a question in mailbag for our guest here, Tony.
All right, so let's Sub-Zero. Get through this last bit of news and we can get to the question.
Oh, you already asked this. Okay, we already answered the first part of your question, Maltese, which was who was your main when you played Mortal Kombat. But second part of the question is, what does it feel like to be part of, quote, the legacy of Mortal Kombat?
Ooh.
Well, I would say that, you know, it definitely is an honor to be on this podcast, but I would say that...
Is it spine tingling to be on this podcast?
Oh, man. No, I think it's... I just feel incredibly blessed. I mean, the opportunity, right, you know, when I heard that it was going to be Mortal Kombat, I mean, when I assumed that it was going to be Mortal Kombat by looking at the website, I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is super cool. But then to be, you know, one of the main characters from the original sort of iteration or the original version of Mortal Kombat is just, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. It's like super awesome. And I feel super blessed and honored. I'm just stoked. And, you know, obviously appreciate all the support, people who heard about this and support the decision by NetherRealm. And I can't wait to play the game.
Absolutely. And see, kids, the lesson you could take from this is it pays to be beautiful. And back to our Nintendo news report. So it looks like there are rumors going around that it's possible that Octopath Traveler may not be exclusive to the Switch for much longer. There has been a Korean game rating that has been spotted, which suggests a PC release is on the way. That comes from Gamatsu. The rating refers to a PC version of the game, which is to be published by Bandai and Namco, which does regularly publish Square Enix games in that region. Assuming the release finds its way to the public soon, this will be the first time the game has appeared on any other system. Now, we already know that Octopath in some form was coming to smartphones, and Octopath Traveler, Champions of the Continent.
Yeah, that's a prequel game.
Right, and that's coming to Japan exclusively. Well, at least for now. Maybe if it sells a gajillion copies, it'll come here. But it's interesting. I mean, yeah, you kind of knew that Octopath was going to be too big for Square Enix to keep exclusive to one console, although it's on the console that it would sell the most. But yeah, no company would be a company if it didn't like money. So there you go.
And they did Square Enix after all, so...
Squeenix!
We saw this coming.
Yeah. Tony, it is time to brave the storm, enter the flurries, and get mad chill. It is time to get into the hype zone, Tony. The hype zone...
Let's do it.
Okay, listen. You are in Mortal Kombat 11. You are going to play the game where you rip faces off of people, beat them with their own spines, blow up their torsos with Gatling guns, slice their bodies in half in multiple directions than one. Like, you could split them down the middle, you could split them from the side, you could split them at the hips, at the waist, all different ways. But none of that is as visceral and as exciting as what is about to happen in the hype zone. Nothing. This hype zone is going to get such a guttural reaction to you. And honestly, I think the discussion we're going to have about the hype zone is going to win awards for podcasting. It's going to win a podcast integrity award because we are about to get real serious here in the hype zone. Andy, take it away.
Guys, we're done with video games.
Video games are over.
Pack it up. The podcast is over. The fat lady has sung. Because Prince Harry thinks that Fortnite should be banned.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
What?
It's a fact. Yeah, sing a little song. pull one out for Fortnite because the prince himself has can you shut your whore mouth for 2 seconds?
I think that Fortnite is going to be a big problem here. It's about getting addictive processed. It's getting the children all brain mushy. Oi!
What pub is he in right now?
Oi! I'm in the Manchester.
Like, he's been binging for...
I'm in the pub.
I'm sending some Daphne Moon in there. From Manchester. So, guys, you know, it's not a laughing matter.
No laughing matter, guys.
So, pump the brakes.
Super serious stuff.
Right. Let's get real for a second.
Let's get physical.
Because the prince has spoken. Okay. End quote. The game should not be allowed. Where is the benefit of having it in your household. It's a great point.
Now,
hold on, I'm not done yet. Okay. There's more.
Okay.
It's created to addict, and the addiction to keep you in front of your computer for as long as possible. It is so irresponsible. It is. It's very true.
You know what was irresponsible? Having a goddamn wedding on television that billions of people had to watch while they were working because you...
Did your wife make you watch that? Is that why you're so bitter?
Everybody was watching that stupid thing. That's irresponsible.
I don't watch that piece of crap.
Also, I have to say, and I have to be completely honest about this, okay? Does he know that he has no political power? Like...
Steven, this is the hype zone. He has all the power.
No.
When you're in the hype zone, you have absolute power.
In the hype zone, we have
what he says goes.
I was not there for that royal decree.
This is just like CNN saying that Nintendo is banking on their old IPs for success because they're a failing console.
Is this considered a royal decree?
It is.
Can he? It is.
The would-be child king has spoken.
It is decided.
We gotta Joffrey this asshole right now.
RIP Fortnite.
Who's got the poison-filled goblet? Just pass it down the
now,
line.
He knows that Fortnite doesn't lose lawsuits, right? Like, they will come at his ass.
If they could withstand the Carlton,
I'd be willing to put London. Money on the fact that Fortnite is worth more money than the royal family.
They could take on the crown. Right?
Absolutely. They absolutely are worth more money than whatever.
Than all of Britain combined?
Well, now, yeah, with the whole Brexit shit.
See, that's what happens when you have Brexit. It fries your brain, and at least of these sort of dumbass comments.
Boy!
Stay in your lane, Prince Harry. Worry about your country.
This is
not
addicting.
About Fortnite.
And did you know a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down? Chip chimity, chip chimity, chip chim, Fortnite!
I'm getting some Australian in there, too.
It's a little of everything, Andy.
Do you want to go Jamaican next and just wrap it up?
It's not murder. It's all the same. Because when it's a caricature, it's all the same. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the hype zone. Now, Andy, I hear you have a special treat for us. We are not going into the Retro Game Club because Andy has decided for Mortal Kombat Month, for the month of April, he is going to do a very special form of game to end the show. Tony, I have no idea what this game is, so you and I are on even playing field here. I don't know if we're going to be a team. I don't know if we're versing each other. I don't know if I'm going to have to do a fatality and chop your face clear off your skull. I don't know. So, Andy, explain your fakakta rules here.
Fakakta, you're fakakta. So, I'm pretty sure you noticed, Tony, when I sent you the run of the show, I left the number 8 slot where the Retro Game Club usually rests. I put a bunch of question marks.
I did see that, yes.
Like, what the fuck is this guy going to do to me? So instead, we're playing a very special trivia game, which I'm calling Test Your Right.
Okay.
Which Test is your right?
My way of saying, let's see how right you are.
Oh, wow.
It is, in essence, a Sub-Zero trivia game.
Snap.
So I want to test your Sub-Zero knowledge for both of you. And I guess most points wins.
I have zero
knowledge.
That's
how we're
going to
do this.
So this is good. I like this.
So put your phones down, gents, and eyes on the screen.
No phones here.
I can see them. And let's not try to think too long. So these are multiple choice questions. All right?
All right.
Steven, can I see your face? Can you look at me?
I have my Lincoln
yeah, put those away.
Cards.
Yeah, no one cares. Put
Zombie
those away.
Zombie Lincoln.
Okay, put them away.
Pixel Lincoln. All right, go ahead.
Put them all away.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, these will start fairly easy.
Okay.
If you know, just chime in. Okay?
Okay.
How
you
do
must
we chime
wait
in?
Till I'm done reading all the choices.
Okay. How many choices are you going to give us?
Four.
Okay.
Right. Okay, here we go. Let's pull up the first one here. Super excited about this.
Okay,
here we go.
Test your mic.
Question number one.
Yes.
What is Sub-Zero's signature fatality? Is it A, uppercuts opponent's head off, B, tears off opponent's head with spine dangling, C, becomes a dragon and bites him in half?
Well, come on now.
Or is it D, performs a one-man show, the Iceman cometh and bores you to death?
Ding, ding, ding.
I am going with B.
I'm also going with B.
B it is.
Yeah, we did it.
All
is
right.
That the dragon? I thought it was the dragon, no?
Dragon? That's a Liu Kang move.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Come on, Andy.
All right, that was a gimme. Now, this is where shit gets real.
Don't.
I gave you guys one easy one. Good. Now we're getting to the real shit.
Excellent.
Okay?
Excellent.
Yeah. What is the current Sub-Zero's real name? Is it A, Bi-Han, B, Kuai Liang, C, Hanzo Hasashi, or D, Frosty the Snowman?
C, Hanzi Hasashi.
Incorrect. Going over to Tony. Tony.
Okay. He had to lock it in first.
A is correct. Bi-Han. Point to Tony.
You are cheating.
All right. Moving on. Question number three. What clan does Sub-Zero belong to? Is it A, the Shirai Ryu, B, the Lin Kuei, C, the Brother of the Shadow, or D, the Wu-Tang Clan?
I'm going with B.
Obviously, the Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah, Lin Kuei.
Lin Kuei. That is correct.
All right.
Ding, 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 ding. All right. Question number four.
3-2 here.
Yes. Which of the following is one of Sub-Zero's fatalities? A, throws an ice grenade into your chest and you explode.
An ice what?
Grenade. Okay. Into your chest.
Enunciate. God damn it.
Into, and you explode, leaving a pair of legs. Is it B, pulls out your entire skeleton through your mouth?
That'd be cool.
C, impales you on a bed of spikes? Or is it D, gives you a snow job?
I'm gonna go with C.
Yeah, I think C. Not sure. C seems to be like. Yeah, I think it's C.
Ooh, that's incorrect. The answer is A. Mm.
Really, the ice grenade?
Yes, that's from Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I skipped that one.
Yes. All right, question number five. What was the current Sub-Zero's code name prior to his older brother dying? Is it A, Frost, B, Tundra, C, Blizzard, or D, Snowflake?
I'm going to go with B.
I'm going to go with C.
Point goes to Tony.
Right.
Tundra.
Oh, snap.
That's definitely all a cooler name, the Blizzard.
Yeah, it's a cool name. Question number six. Who framed Sub-Zero for the murder of Scorpion's family? Was it A, Shang Tsung, B, Shao Kahn, C, Quan Chi, or D, Donald Trump?
I don't know, but I'm just going to take a guess and say it's Quan Chi.
Tony?
I love your D options.
Everyone loves my D option, Tony.
I'm just waiting for the D option every time. I don't remember the first three. No, I think it's I'm sorry, what's A and B again?
So is A, Shang Tsung, B, Shao Kahn, C, Quan Chi, or D, Donald Trump? Stephen locked in Quan Chi as his answer.
Oh man, I don't know the answer to this. I'm gonna go with A.
The answer is C, Quan Chi.
I did it.
Oh,
you did it. You got one.
You got it. You got a 2-point lead on me.
Question number seven.
I think.
He does, yes.
Okay.
When the original Sub-Zero died, his soul went to rot where? A, the Chaos Realm, B, the Nether Realm, C, the Dream Realm, or D, the DMV?
I'm going with B.
Steven saying B. Tony?
What was that? What was B?
Nether Realm.
Oh, no. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going with Nether Realm.
So it's A, Chaos Realm, B, Nether Realm, C, Dream Realm, or D, the DMV.
Oh man, I'm gonna go with A.
Ooh, goes to Steven again. It is the Nether Realm.
Oh, it is the Nether Realm.
Yes,
wow. Yes,
it is.
I am one point away from a tie.
There you go. Question number eight. Sub-Zero is one of two remaining what? A, a frostbender, B, a cryomancer, C, a cold mage, or D, an ice cream man.
I'm going to go with B.
Yeah, me too, B. That sounds really cool.
The answer is B, Cryomancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, bonus points. Who is the other Cryomancer in the franchise that's still running around? If someone knows the answer to that question, you get a bonus point.
I mean, there were two Sub-Zeros.
But one's dead.
Yeah, I guess.
He's no longer a Cryomancer.
I don't.
So the answer is Frost, the female Sub-Zero, essentially.
Oh, wow.
Current Sub-Zero's protege.
Protege.
All right. Protege. Question number 9. We got a few more to go, guys.
Okay.
In the current timeline, who gave Sub-Zero his iconic eye scar? Is it A, Kano, B, Scorpion, C, Melina, or D, Donald Trump?
I'm going to go with Scorpion.
I'm going with Melina.
You are both wrong. It was Kano.
Oh, what? Bastard.
Wow. Yeah, who knew?
Wow.
Who fucking knew?
Jesus. Kano's the one with the eye, right?
Yeah, with the laser eye.
He was the Australian in the
cue the accent, Steven.
And then you want to do it.
Oh, gotcha.
Foster's in there.
Ear. To ear.
There it is. All right. Question number 10. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 more to go, guys. We almost made it. Sub-Zero was briefly turned into this. Was it A being of pure ice, B, a living snowstorm, C, a cyborg, or D, a snowball?
I'll go with the cyborg, C.
I'm going with Steven? A.
Go with the Tony, a cyborg.
That seems really stupid. Were they running out of ideas?
No, well, in the original timeline, a little fun fact, Smoke became a cyborg. But then MK9 kind of rewrote history and he kind of took his place in that slot. So Smoke remained human and Sub-Zero became a cyborg.
Whatever.
Yeah, don't you know that, Steven?
All right, you got a 2-point lead.
All right, here we go. Number 11. The original Sub-Zero was reborn as A, Havoc, B, Noob Saibot, C, Movado, or D, a frozen yogurt shop owner.
Man, I just want to say D, but I'm not going to.
I'm going with B.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with B as well.
B is correct. Noob Saibot is the original Sub-Zero. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 12. We're getting to the last two questions here, guys.
Right, I need to sweep these to tie.
Yeah, you get a tie. Oh, no, I'll give you a tie. I'll give it, yeah.
Win or tie?
Well, if he gets no points, you'll tie.
Okay.
All right. Which of the following, now this Tony might know because it's stacked in his favor. Which of the following was Sub-Zero's animality in Mortal Kombat 3? Was it A, a walrus, B, a yeti, C, a polar bear,
C,
or D, a penguin, which poops out an egg and explodes?
I think it was C.
You love writing these D options.
I know, they're so good.
Good Lord. Oh, man. What was B again?
A yeti.
I'm going to go with B.
Go with the Steven.
Yes.
Oh, snap. Yeah,
I remember that
a
one.
Polar bear.
I remember
now, here's
that
a bonus chance for you guys.
Oh, God.
The D option, our favorite option of the game so far, which was a penguin, which poops an egg and makes you explode.
Clay Fighter.
Was that a real Mortal Kombat animality, true or false? Steven?
True.
Tony?
I'm going to go with true as well.
It is true. That was Scorpion's animality.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. So last but not least, we have a true or false question. Okay. Sub-Zero has starred in every single Mortal Kombat game, including as a DLC fighter in Injustice. True or false?
False. I do not think he was in Injustice.
Tony?
Whew.
You got it, Tony. You got it.
I know nothing about Injustice. I'm going to say true, just for kicks.
It goes to Tony.
Woo! Oh, Lord! Wow.
Victory.
That's incredible.
You are the Test Your Right champion.
God, Tony, I am Chung. Sub-Zero, man.
How many points did he have?
More than you.
No, but we got to see how many points he gets stacked up to our next Mortal Kombat guest.
Oh, okay. He got like what, 6 or 7, I imagine?
I don't know. If whoever's listening,
we'll back.
Whoever's listening we'll to the show, I'm not listening to it.
Oh, listen to our own show.
I'm a sore loser. I'm not listening.
this part's being edited out.
This game never happened. Anyway, Tony, it has been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you. That is going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. I had a great time. This was fun. This is awesome. I'm going to go and, you know, check out these games that you guys talked about and also watch that YouTube video of all the worst scenes from the movie too.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
check us out on all of the with our interviews from PAX, you know, do a little bit.
Oh,
of that,
by the way, which episode was it where Andy talks about the backstories of Mortal Kombat characters?
It was a bonus episode on Patreon. So, but we'll throw you a file. We'll send it over.
Okay,
your way.
Perfect. I can't Don't wait to listen to that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was one of our favorite bonus episodes we've ever done, for sure. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Remember, Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast is part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horrors, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at NDS Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And Tony, you are on Instagram at TonyChungModel. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you would like to plug?
No, I don't think so. Go out and buy the game.
Hell yeah.
11.
What is that? What is it coming out?
23rd.
23rd.
It's 23rd, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, baby. How exciting. Yes, if you would, special thanks to our contributors to the show, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you to Dan Colonna for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo, and thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of the rest of our art and whatnot. And also Matt Murray for all of our templates on Twitch. Thank you for that as well. Remember, folks, you could support our show by going to Patreon, patreon.com/NDS podcast. That is going to do it for us. Andy, before we go, is there anything you want to tell the kids?
Hell yeah. It's Mortal Kombat month.
It is Mortal Kombat month, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that
right?
means.
And, you know, since we're in this, there's a time traveling plot for MK11.
There is.
That's going to be in our podcast, too. So we got a little present with our boy Tony here, current Sub-Zero. We're going back in time next week, guys. Join us on April, what's the date? What's the next Monday from now?
15?
Yes, April 15th. We'll have on the original, the martial art master, actor, choreographer, and co-creator of MK1 and 2, Johnny Cage, Daniel fucking Pacina.
Woo!
The Masters.
Snap.
On the show.
Oh, man.
We're going all the way back, guys.
We are bringing it back. 1991, 2, or 3. I think it was 91.
Maybe it's 2.
I don't know. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. That is going to be
that's a thing.
That is going to be a lot of fun. That is it, folks. That's going to do it for the Nintendo Dual Screens. Tony, thanks again for joining us. If you want to stick around for the post show, you're more than welcome to. Andy, you are forced to. We'll see you
God
at the post show. Remember, you can get the post show if you go to patreon.com/NDS podcast and support us at $10, and you get the pre and post show every single week. That's it. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 93 for the week of April 8th. And as always, please be excellent to each other.